This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Did you know that right now, GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Biden takes the reins. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. On this Friday, August 21st, thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Joe Biden has officially accepted the Democratic Party's nomination for president. Here's some of his remarks from Delaware.
The wildfires raging across Northern California have now claimed at least five lives, plus thousands of homes are threatened.
The state of Michigan has agreed to a $600 million settlement in the Flint water crisis.
And despite the pandemic, the traditional American office will never disappear.
What I foresee is folks having to go to the office a couple times a week. What that means is the notion that that office in San Francisco and you've decided to live on a ski slope in Colorado are antithetical because it's expensive to fly back and forth, both in terms of money and time.
Economist Peter Morici on how the death of the office has been greatly exaggerated. Former Vice President Joe Biden has formally accepted the Democratic presidential nomination. In wrapping up last night's National Party Convention, he asked the American public to elect him in place of President Trump, painting himself as prepared to steer the nation out of the coronavirus pandemic. Mr. Biden, who has failed twice before in running for the White House, never referred to Mr. Trump by name, calling him this president or the current president, in his remarks from an auditorium in his hometown of Wilmington, Delaware.
Here and now, I give you my word. If you entrust me with the presidency, I will draw on the best of us, not the worst. I'll be an ally of the light, not the darkness. It's time for us, for we the people, to come together.
The fourth night of the convention also saw former presidential hopefuls Cory Booker, Pete Buttigieg, Michael Bloomberg, and Andrew Yang deliver separate speeches that focused on the human and economic consequences of the pandemic. Well, Mr. Biden has united differing factions of the Democratic Party behind a message of defeating President Trump and rebuilding from the coronavirus pandemic. But the unity might not last past the November 3rd election, no matter who wins. It's a story by Ken Thomas, national political reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Ken, explain.
Many of the big debates in the primaries, issues like Medicare for all, how to go about addressing climate change, free college tuition, for example, were largely postponed at the end of the primaries as the pandemic began. Biden has run on a pretty strong progressive agenda, but he's always been viewed as a leader in the centrist wing of the party. So I think there are a lot of liberals who feel like they'll need to push him if he's elected president. And I think what's interesting is that at the same time of his rise during the primaries, we've had these primary victories in the House by a number of liberals. So we fully expect the Progressive Caucus, the squad, will be much stronger in 2021.
Wow. This makes it sound like the Democratic Party faces a fight, an internal fight, November 4, no matter what. It's like if Joe Biden loses, then there's going to be, I think, for like any party, traditional infighting about why, right, and finger pointing. And if they win, liberals are going to want a bigger voice.
Yeah, and I think a lot of party leaders feel like the pandemic could serve as a central organizing principle in the beginning of a Biden administration. They feel like the needs will be so great that the party will need to come together to try to rebuild the economy and address some of the systemic issues. But if you look at this party right now, you know, we expect a stronger progressive wing in Congress. But at the same time, if Democrats succeed in winning back the Senate, in all likelihood, it's going to come in large part because of moderates running in states like Arizona and Colorado. and North Carolina. So it's not hard to see a scenario in which a President Joe Biden is trying to balance those competing forces in the party. And even since our story ran, we've seen some of these rumblings. One longtime Biden advisor we spoke with, Ted Kaufman, he's running the transition team. He told us that when Biden gets into office, the pantry is going to be bare, and basically that President Trump has driven up deficits, and so a Biden administration might be limited in what they can do. And that has, rubbed some liberals in the party the wrong way and are concerned that, they may be setting down a marker of more austerity spending.
We're speaking with Ken Thomas, national political reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called "Joe Biden United the Democrats. It's not likely to last." So do progressives, given some of the primary wins, think they have momentum because Mr. Biden kind of has indicated, or there's an indication that Mr. Biden feels the centrists kind of have the microphone right now?
Yeah, I think the progressives do. There were some important victories by more liberal challengers in states like Missouri and in Illinois and in New York. And so I had liberal activists say that they believed the squad, so to speak, is expanding, that you will, have a much bigger group of liberals in the House, led by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who will have a big role in the direction of the party and some of the policies that it's going to pursue. But at the same time, Biden really has campaigned on this idea of Democrats being able to, create a big tent and appeal to voters across the board. And he was very impressed in 2018 with a lot of these more moderate challengers, who had national security backgrounds and were able to win in districts in swing states that had been Republican for a while. And so, it's not difficult to see a scenario where you have these two interests competing.
Thanks, Ken. Ken Thomas, national political reporter at the Wall Street Journal. A former advisor to President Trump and three others have been charged with defrauding donors of hundreds of thousands of dollars as part of a fundraising campaign purportedly aimed at supporting the president's efforts on a border wall. Federal prosecutors in New York yesterday charged Steve Bannon, who pleaded not guilty and was released on $5 million bail. Mr. Bannon, who's 66, was indicted along with the others for allegedly using hundreds of thousands of donated dollars for personal expenses. President Trump's reaction from the White House.
He was involved likewise in our campaign and for a small part of the administration very early on. I haven't been dealing with him at all.
The online crowdfunding campaign called We Build the Wall ultimately raised more than $25 million. Authorities say one of the defendants spent more than $350,000 of donations on things like cosmetic surgery, a luxury SUV, a golf cart, payments toward a boat, home renovations, jewelry, personal tax payments, and credit card debt. It's 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor, they're focused on you. They are real people, ready to give real advice on everything from laptops to the cloud. And they offer tailored solutions powered by the Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Dell advisors listen so you know that your small business needs have been met. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference. Like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help, offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for spending time with us. The state of Michigan has reached a preliminary settlement to pay $600 million to victims of the Flint water crisis to resolve civil claims over the city's lead-tainted drinking water. Reports say nearly 80% of the settlement fund will go to residents who were under the age of 18 during a period between April of 2014 and the end of July 2016. The number of those claims could be between 7,500 and 20,000 people. Mike Snyder lost his father to Legionnaire's disease during the crisis.
It's been 5 years. Let's just move down the road with it. It was a sad situation, but you know, we weren't the only ones affected by any means.
Flint's problems were eventually found to have been created when officials appointed by the state switched the city's water source as a cost-saving measure in April 2014 from Lake Huron to the Flint River. When the city failed to treat the water properly, old pipes from water mains to people's homes leached lead into tap water. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Rasa Kay.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Speaking from a mostly empty arena in his hometown of Wilmington, Delaware, Joe Biden accepted the Democratic nomination for President of the United States on the final night of his party's convention, then waved to a parade of passing cars and cheering crowds that were treated to fireworks.
Number two.
One of the speakers at last night's virtual event was a fed-up and fire-weary California Governor Gavin Newsom.
The President of the United States threatened the state of California, 40 million Americans that happen to live here in the state of California, to defund our efforts on wildfire suppression because he said we hadn't raked enough leaves. You can't make that up.
Intense wildfires in Northern California have chewed through about 500 square miles of brushland, Canyon County, and dense forests surrounding San Francisco, blanketing the city with a smoky haze. At least five deaths are blamed on the blazes.
Number three.
Former Trump White House chief strategist Steve Bannon is free on $5 million bail. Investigators allege he and three others bilked donors of more than $25 million to build a wall along America's southern border, but instead siphoned off the funds to themselves. Joe Biden's press aide, Katie Bedingfield, was quick to stress Bannon's Trump connections.
No one needed a federal indictment to know that Steve Bannon is a fraud. Donald Trump has run the most corrupt administration in American history. He has consistently used his office to enrich himself, his family, and his cronies.
In another blow to President Trump's efforts to stop the Manhattan District Attorney from obtaining his financial records, a federal judge in New York has thrown out the president's challenge to the subpoena for his tax returns, saying the president failed to show the subpoena posed an unfair burden. Trump's team has appealed again. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy may be suspending changes to Postal Service operations for now, but isn't reversing those he's made. And Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says they won't affect mail-in voting anyway.
The post office is not in trouble. We're going to make sure that they are able to deliver our ballots on time.
An internal email seen by CNN instructs postal workers not to reconnect any mail sorting machines that have been mothballed on DeJoy's orders. And it seems like a lifetime ago, we were all talking about the Tiger King on Netflix. Well, the Oklahoma Zoo featured in the show has closed after federal authorities investigated it for alleged mistreatment of animals and suspended its license.
That was never my thing. I watched an episode and a half. Couldn't get into it.
It's one of those things where people talked about it so much, I felt like I watched it.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Thanks, Ross. We all know that we should drink more water, but by the time you feel thirsty, it's too late. You're already dehydrated. That's why I've started using a product called Hydrant, a refreshing electrolyte powder that you mix directly into water to more efficiently hydrate your body. Each rapid hydration mix has the four essential electrolytes, sodium, potassium, magnesium, and zinc, and it's made with real fruit juice powder. The formula was developed by an Oxford scientist. The lime flavor is my personal favorite. I drink it during and after my workouts, whether I'm running or biking. It's $1 a packet for a 30-day supply. Save even more with a monthly subscription. Give it a try. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Save 25% on your first order by going to drinkhydrant.com/morning or enter our promo code MORNING at checkout. That's DRINKHYDRANT, drinkhydrant.com/morning or enter promo code MORNING for 25% off your first order. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Glad you're with us. COVID-19 has changed where people work like no event since the mechanization of agriculture or Ford's moving assembly. But can we keep up the pace? Peter Morici, economist and emeritus business professor at the University of Maryland, says how radical and enduring the work-at-home movement proves to be once we have a vaccine and social distancing ends remains to be seen. Peter, set this up.
Absolutely. You know, we have been moving towards more remote work for quite some time. In 2012, about 40% of the labor force was doing it. And in 2016, about 43%. And now we're up to about 53%. That's about on trend. Firms like Facebook think they're going to get rid of offices, but that's crazy. People need the opportunity to collaborate. Businesses need the opportunity to train. All those things require some face-to-face contact. What I foresee is folks having to go to the office a couple times a week. What that means is the notion that that office in San Francisco and you've decided to live on a ski slope in Colorado are antithetical because it's expensive to fly back and forth, both in terms of money and time.
You said, too, that you think Zoom relationships will at some point decay?
Absolutely. Right now, we all went home. But we have established relationships with colleagues, people we've been elbow to elbow with for years, sometimes only months, but sometimes years. And so we're drawing on that capital. It's quite another thing to establish trust with people you've never seen. I mean, it can be done. I have a relationship with the BBC over many years, and I've gotten to know lots of the folks there. But it's a considerable effort. But also remember, they're a cohesive unit that has seen everybody over the years, and they have these stringers out there. It's quite another thing for the unit itself, the core, to have never had physical contact.
Yeah. We're speaking with Peter Morici, economist and emeritus business professor at the University of Maryland. He's written a piece in MarketWatch called "The Death of the Office has been greatly exaggerated." How come, or how could, I guess, some of these Silicon Valley firms that have said, you know what, don't come back to the office till next summer, I think a couple have said. How do you manage that? Maybe, does it come down to maybe you're not a good manager or leader if your workers can't be efficient from home for that long?
Well, there's some practicalities right now. We're not going to have a situation where people can come back to the office comfortably till at least next spring, because we won't have a vaccine until then. And in the meantime, workers have to make arrangements for children and so forth, sign leases and what have you. So someone like Amazon saying take the next year away is fine, but not take forever away. So, I mean, what we're seeing is firms are saying, don't worry about it till next June, so you can make plans for the next school year. And that makes a lot of sense. It's just not something that can be forever.
All right. Thanks, Peter. Peter Morici, emeritus business professor at the University of Maryland. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The T-shirt is a menswear staple. Unfortunately, the basic tee we love has its issues, right? Shrinkage, bacon neck, fading, and stretching, to name a few. But the modern take on the classic T-shirt from Cuts Clothing has completely changed the game. With their amazingly soft, custom-engineered Pika Pro fabric, Cuts T-shirts have an athletic, tailored-looking fit that's comfortable anywhere, from a day in the office to a night on the town and everything in between. I have to say, I love my Cuts T-shirts. I've worn them casually with shorts and sandals, but also under my suit jacket in more professional settings. They're one of the most comfortable, durable, and fashionably flexible shirts I've ever owned. Plus, they're pre-shrunk, wrinkle-free, and hold their shape over time, no matter what style you prefer. That's why Cuts is the only shirt worth wearing. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. Again, cutsclothing.com/Gordon.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. ThisMorning@CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Friday, August 21. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Joe Biden formally accepts the Democratic presidential nomination. Wildfires in Northern California are now blamed for 5 deaths. More than 50,000 people have evacuated across the state. An appeals court says Uber and Lyft, for now, don't have to reclassify drivers as employees. Actress Lori Loughlin will be sentenced today in connection with a college admission scandal. And the unusual plea for companionship from a 50-year-old lonely heart male. That story in about 20 minutes. The stalemate over the next phase of legislation to combat the coronavirus pandemic means people will see cuts to benefits as the campaign season gets into full swing and incumbents are forced to explain to voters why they were unable to provide more relief.
More from Natalie Andrews, congressional reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Natalie, what's up here?
Lawmakers headed home for August recess, which is typically in an election year when things start really heating up. They're not just members of Congress. There are members of Congress running for re-election, and that election is in a few months. So they pushed hard. Several vulnerable members or members in competitive states like Susan Collins in Maine pushed hard for their bodies to not adjourn without having some sort of deal, because they know that people are struggling right now and they want to be able to point to victories that they're bringing home as lawmakers. And negotiations hit gridlock and lawmakers were unable to deliver before adjourning for August.
All right. So you referenced Susan Collins there, the senator from Maine. Somebody in your story said she's in a real bind. How come?
Well, she's in this interesting place in Maine where at times she wants to support the president, such as when he is talking about executive actions that would give people $300 a week. But when she the more she ties herself to the president, the more that Democrats will tie her to everything the president has done, which is not popular in Maine. And so she's wanting to really establish her own independent voice. Susan Collins is someone who has thrived on being kind of independent-minded, being a moderate, sometimes voting with Democrats. And so if she doesn't have legislation to take home, then the only thing she can really point to is what Donald Trump has done to say, like, here's how we're helping you.
Mm. The Problem Solvers Caucus in the House that you referenced, they're trying to bridge the $3.5 trillion that the House passed in May with the $1 trillion that Republicans in the Senate want?
Yeah, the Problem Solvers are an interesting group because they are nearly an equal number of Democrats and Republicans. And that means that sometimes they can take a meeting with the White House and really try to bridge a gap. And they often do. This is a group that thrives on doing bipartisan deals. They didn't do this necessarily to go around Nancy Pelosi. They did this as a way to kind of understand what the breaks are. So they met with White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, and they do plan to meet again.
We're speaking with Natalie Andrews, congressional reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called Stimulus Stalemate Leaves Vulnerable Lawmakers Empty-Handed. How about this congressman from Kentucky, John Yarmuth? He's saying Democrats, I guess, should be making targeted offers to the GOP. What does he want?
John Yarmuth, who is the budget committee chairman and has been in Congress for a while, he is looking at how to make a deal. And he said that Democrats should be trying to make more offers, stay at the table, keep talking, rather than Nancy Pelosi had said, well, Democrats passed a $3.5 trillion bill. I'm willing to come down to $2 trillion. And that was kind of her top line number. And Yarmuth is making the point that Democrats should be continuing to try to shape the legislation, continuing to try to debate, maybe talking about incremental parts of the deal instead of just setting the top line number and waiting for Republicans to meet them.
So how much does this matter to voters? I understand the ones who've lost their jobs would be very interested. But in terms of, say, the broader campaign, is this all about the pandemic and the referendum on President Trump?
Well, the issue with the election in the midst of a pandemic is truly everyone is feeling some sort of effect. This isn't just some sort of spending legislation that people sort of follow, oftentimes feel like Congress is in gridlock and move on. People are really hurting here. And so the victims of Congress not passing legislation, and I've had lawmakers from both sides tell me this, is that they know that the people that suffer the most when they can't come to a deal are the American people, and those are the voters. And so this does seem to be an issue that voters will feel more than they would feel in traditional spending legislation.
Thanks, Natalie. Natalie Andrews, congressional reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Let me tell you about my new favorite way to pass the time while commuting. It's the app called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and whittles it down to just 15 minutes. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading self-improvement books. I just finished listening to Snowball, a Warren Buffett biography. Listen to Blinkist while commuting or maybe exercising, even while you're waiting for your kids to finish practice. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read. I also like listening to some of the history titles since I never had much good history in school. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning. Thanks for being with us. Gold glistens most brilliantly when the economic clouds tarnish and turn into that dull color of dread. This summer, gold prices soared on fears that the coronavirus pandemic would continue to cast a dark shadow on jobs and economic growth. As the dollar fell on those fears, gold prices shot up. Does that mean it makes sense to sell some of your unwanted jewelry? Not necessarily, says Susan Tompor, personal finance columnist at the Detroit Free Press. Susan, take us through this.
Well, early August, August 6th, there was a record hit of about $2,070 an ounce. So those are big headlines. And it had been pulled back recent days, you know, still near $2,000 an ounce, which is it's a pretty big deal. But the thing is, when these things hit, many people think, oh, I'll just go, you know, sell off a lot of my gold. But what they don't realize is this is what they would call scrap metal, you know, to a certain degree. I mean, it's a price that is not going to be anywhere close to $2,000 for you. I've done these columns before, twice before, last time in 2011 when there was a record. I think that back then it was probably about $1,500 an ounce. And I price my husband's gold ring each time, and it's a constant measure, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a simple band, nothing fancy, just a regular band. And this time around, it would bring about 150 to 220. But in one of the pawn shops in Detroit, she really didn't even want it. She was offering me 105, and then said, "Well, if I wanted to pawn it and take a loan against it, they might be able to go to 150.
Jeez.
So, you know, the thing is that, you know, they're going to melt it down. 14-karat gold is 58.5% pure, so, you know, you've got that going on there. And, you know, in our lifetimes, of course, we're selling cars more often than we're selling gold. And so there's a lot of ins and outs, a lot of things that, you know, if you're not dealing with somebody who's scrupulous, unscrupulous dealer there, you could get caught on. One of the tips is, that's a standard, is you need to know the difference between 14-karat and 10-karat. You don't want somebody weighing your 14-karat as 10-karat. The higher the carat, the more money you should be getting. Lower the carat, 10-karat, that's a smaller price. So people don't realize, you know, that that's just not gold. It's either 10-karat, 14-karat, 18-karat, and that's got to be priced and weighed accordingly.
Yeah. We're speaking with Susan Tompor, personal finance columnist at the Detroit Free Press. Her piece is called Gold Prices Are Soaring, But Don't Expect a Big Windfall Selling Your Jewelry. I thought it was interesting, too, that some people sell it not necessarily for the money, but just because there's nobody that's going to use it, say, from maybe a relative who passed away.
Yeah, exactly. The young man I met in Birmingham was 21. His grandfather had a pinky ring. The grandfather died in 2008. Even the dad was in the jewelry store at the same time. He said, you know, nobody has any emotional attachment to this ring, although Grandpa used to wear it quite a bit. I guess he must have had, he also did have a lot of jewelry, so maybe he wore it, you know, infrequently or whatever. And the young guy was working, and I said, what are you going to use the money? He was getting $157. He said, well, maybe food, maybe gas for the car. So, you know, it's everyday spending money. And if it is something you're not using, but I would price it. I would take it to two or three places on the same day, you know, around the same time, and see what kind of a price you could get. Because the pricing is not standard. I think it's going to depend on who's doing what that day. And, you know, there was a difference, you know, of about $50, $75 in one short hour and a very short drive. So, you know, I think it is worth it to try to price some things. But, you know, have an idea of what you're looking at, too.
So when these guys melt it down, then what happens? Then they actually sell it By the ounce?
Yeah, well, I'm not quite clear on that. I did ask one of the jewelers, and he said, you know, he sends it to some refineries either in town or out of town. Hmm. I know in Michigan we do have a rule that they have to hold on to it for 9 days because it could be stolen.
Oh,
you know,
wow. Okay.
So there's some there are some rules there where they are trying to crack down on some things like that.
Thanks, Susan. Susan Tompor, personal finance columnist at the Detroit Free Press. It is 12 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor, they're focused on you. They are real people ready to give real advice on everything from laptops to the cloud. And they offer tailored solutions powered by the Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Dell advisors listen so you know that your small business needs have been met. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Friday. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Rasa Kay.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
After a half a century in politics, Joe Biden accepted the Democrats' nomination for president in his home city of Wilmington, Delaware.
Character is on the ballot. Compassion is on the ballot. Decency, science, democracy, they're all on the ballot.
Biden spoke in a silent auditorium to close the virtual convention, then headed outside with his wife Jill to watch fireworks in lieu of the traditional balloon drop and confetti.
Number two.
More than 10,000 firefighters are on the front lines in fire-ravaged Northern California, some working 72-hour shifts instead of the usual 24 hours. A woman in Pope Valley commends a ragtag bunch of volunteers for saving several homes in her area.
The community, for the most part, has really come together, and they put their resources together, and they've held the fire off. We've even had the assets that have come from the helicopters that really made the difference. We turned the corner.
The fires are being blamed for at least 5 deaths. In drought-stricken Colorado, the state's second-largest wildfire in history grew slightly, but so has containment up to 14% as it burns in remote mountains west of Denver.
Number three.
President Trump is distancing himself from former political advisor Steve Bannon, free on $5 million bail after being charged with defrauding hundreds of thousands of donors to a campaign to build a border wall between the U.S. and Mexico.
He was involved likewise in our campaign. And for a small part of the administration very early on. I haven't been dealing with him at all.
The indictment says Bannon and three associates faked invoices and sham vendor arrangements to funnel millions to their personal use. Louisiana Republican Senator Bill Cassidy says he's strictly quarantining after testing positive for the coronavirus. On the college beat, cases at the University of Notre Dame have grown to 304 2 days after the school canceled classes for 2 weeks due to an increase. North Carolina State University has moved its undergrad courses online. You may have a trendy jar of everything bagel seasoning in your spice cabinet these days. Well, make room for the Cinnamon Toast Crunch Cinnadust Seasoning Blend. B&G Foods' mix of cinnamon, vanilla, sugar, and graham crackers will be available exclusively at Sam's Club starting September 1st. Now you can put that on everything you eat.
Okay. I prefer the everything bagel seasoning.
You got your sweet, you got your savory.
Yeah. All right. You can go for that. I'll stick with the saltier stuff. Thanks, Rasa. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Lonely male, 50, seeks female companion who enjoys digging, eating tomatoes, and will take very slow strolls around the garden with him. It's not exactly your typical Lonely Hearts ad, but then again, Fred isn't your typical Lonely Heart. The 50-year-old isn't a man, but a tortoise. And the quirky advertisement was penned by his worried owner, Angela Matchett, in Scotland. Ms. Matchett explained to the Daily Record she believes her pet is desperate for some company of his own kind, as he constantly wanders around the garden trying to make friends with random shell-shaped objects. His plea for companionship has now been shared on social media. Ms. Hatchett says for those interested, Fred is a Herman's tortoise that was imported to the UK around 50 years ago. previously belonged to Angela's mother and father, who lived in London. When the couple passed away, Fred came to live with Angela and her husband in Scotland. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.